Hey, what up? It's YG400, and you watching Jalen and Jacoby. Yeah.
He is Jalen Rose. Up. I'm David Jacoby. Yeah. We are Jalen and Jacoby. And what do? We give the people what they want. We have some huge news from Woj about exactly which teams will be invited to Orlando to join the bubble, but there's much bigger things than basketball going on in the world. So we start with looking back at the week. There's been some very powerful speeches that have been given about the national unrest, and some of the most powerful words came from our guest, Killer Mike. Let's listen.
So I'm duty-bound to be here to simply say that it is your duty not to burn your own house down for anger with an enemy. It is your duty to fortify your own house so that you may be a house of refuge in times of organization. And now is the time to plot, plan, strategize, organize, and mobilize. I love and I respect you. I hate I don't have more to say. I hate I can't fix it in a snap. I hate Atlanta's not perfect for as good as we are. But we have to be better than this moment. We have to be better than burning down our own homes. Because if we lose Atlanta, what else we got?
That, of course, is Killer Mike. And Killer Mike joins us right now on the program. Thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate you taking the time.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate you guys, man.
Killer Mike, I appreciate you not only as an artist, but as an activist. You've been an intellect, your sacrifices and your discipline for our culture have been so very needed, and I'm grateful for you. And also, Atlanta's mayor, she gonna be the first Black president. I love her so much. How do you feel the protests have progressed since you did that speech?
Well, I mean, the protest period should always be progressing. We should never get comfortable that our liberties exist without protest. Atlanta is the city it is because of people like John Wesley Dobbs, who was an unofficial Black mayor of Atlanta, and after riots in Atlanta, made sure that deals were brokered, that Blacks could have a section and grow an economy like the Auburn Edgewood Avenue. So I'm not against protest at all, and actually encourage us to always push government to be better. I think Atlanta handles protest well. I think that the policemen that attacked two kids that were going home, they've been fired and are going to be charged. I think that was what a mayor should do. This is not the first time Atlanta had been doing that before. I think that our mayor spoke from a place of a concerned Black mother from the West Side. She's from the same neighborhood as T.I. And I heard her backstage telling them to hold police or anyone going in because she wanted an opportunity to try to get people to go home. And that's a concerned Black woman. That's bigger and badder than a politician. That's your mother and your auntie. And I appreciated her in that moment, letting the veneer of politician down and simply being, you know, an angry Black woman that didn't want to see people get hurt. And I respect her. And I actually think she definitely is going to be on the national political stage. And all the talk about Black women VPs, you know, I think she's as fit as any other candidate.
Well, this fight for inequality has touched all corners of our society, including sports. And one of the coaches of the Broncos, Vic Sangio, was asked about the elements of racism in the NFL. And here's what he had to say.
I don't see racism at all in the NFL. I don't see discrimination in the NFL. You know, we live in a great atmosphere. Like I alluded to earlier, we're lucky. We all live together, joined as one for one common goal, and we all intermingle and mix tremendously. You know, if society reflected an NFL team, we'd all be great.
Obviously, his name is Vic Fangio. What do you think about his comments?
I just like to say I've known many people that have played in the NFL, including my best friend from kindergarten, Robert Hicks, who was a Buffalo Bill, Stanley Pritchard, whose mother taught us, who was a former Dolphin. I'd like to say that, I've heard more times than not from NFL players, and not in particular those two, but just your rooms, you hearing, they refer to the NFL as a plantation. So I'd like to challenge Mr. Fangio to have some open and honest dialogue with players that don't look like him about what it really feels like to wear that helmet and to know that there are certain things you can't say because your owner may not agree or hold a political thought. And I'd also like to give him the challenge of going on YouTube and looking at 1 hour of Jane Elliott and her blue and brown eye experiment, because a lot of times white people think everything is okay because they're ignorant and don't know better. And I don't mean ignorant as a derogatory term. In our ignorance, we may not know how things are being skewed. But once you know, you can't unsee. So I'd like to give Coach that homework. He should take a page out of the Jane Elliott playbook and try to get more depth and knowledge on that. And I challenge him to talk to some of his players in private alone about what it really feels like to be a black player in a league where the coaches do not represent you in terms of what you look like. Many of the coordinators do not, and definitely the ownership does not. That is a very, very, very big building to look at and say that racism does not exist here. Racism exists in every corner of this country, Mrs. Fangio, and I challenge you to find it within your own square and within your own self and to rid ourselves of it finally, including you.
Especially a gentleman that was in the league during Colin Kaepernick's silent protest during the national anthem that ultimately led for him being blackballed out of the league. So, ironically, his former team, the San Francisco 49ers, they participated in the blackout yesterday, Killer Mike, and they want to support Black Lives Matter right now and everything. How do you feel about people who are, I consider, late to the party, but now feel like they want to join?
Well, you're not talking about people. You're talking about organizations. An organization is going to do what's best in the times in terms of marketing standpoint, not to be damaged by the times. So those organizations, but we don't know if the individual people that were involved in the firing and blackballing of Colin have a change of heart, and I would assume they do not. The question becomes, as a society, when are we going to become disciplined and supportive enough of those that are willing to fight for our freedom, even if we don't agree with it, to protest? Because this is not the first time it happened. His name was Chris Jackson at the time. But we had a player that when I looked at the Michigan Fab Five, and I looked at I looked at Chris when he played for the Nuggets, definitely, I think it's Mohamed now, or Muhammad now. But we protested as kids, and we got in trouble. So we didn't get blackballed from high school, though. We were allowed to come back. So I just want to say, you know, if you really want to support Colin Kaepernick, take the blackball off. Give, you know, it's time to really do the work for real as individuals and stop as organizations just trying to save our bread. We know that there are issues with the NFL and athletes that are outspoken, regardless of what they're outspoken about. And I believe Skip Bayless, honestly, said the most incredible thing in the midst of it all. He said, I hope the players understand that whether they agree with Colin Kaepernick or not, if they all stand in solidarity with his right to do it, it will finally break some of the bargaining leverage that the league has over them. And of course, players of other races and of other political philosophies chose not to. And now you still have a league in which the ownership dominates the players to some degree, what people would compare it to indentured servitude.
I mean, with the environment in our society being the way it is now, and as we head into the NFL season, it's obviously you think that perhaps we'll have sort of resurgence of people kneeling for the anthem. And when asked about that, Drew Brees, the quarterback of the Saints, said, I will never agree with anybody disrespecting the flag. What do you think about those comments?
I would like to know what he considers disrespect, because when I travel and we perform in Germany, I never see a Nazi flag. I don't see streets named for Nazis, because Nazis are a part of history that Germany understands was a cancer and corrupt, and they've ridded themselves of. Drew Brees plays in the Deep South. As we travel through the South, we see the Confederate flag everywhere in the bounds. That is a treacherous flag. It was a flag that, if you read the cornerstone speech by Alexander Stevenson, he says in the cornerstone speech of the Confederacy that our Constitution is built on the natural order, that white society and white man is above black people, and they are to be held in servitude and bondage. So if you're going to tell me about flag and disrespecting the American flag, the fact that you live in a region that they still fly the rebel flag or the Confederate flag, and you don't adamantly speak against that on a regular basis, just tells me that you're protecting the way of life or what you think is right. The American flag stands for the First Amendment and the ability to say what you feel about situations. Now, you bear the brunt of that. You may get blackballed out of the NFL, but you have the right to. So if you support and you don't want to see the American flag disrespected, don't look at it on Budweiser shorts at picnics. Don't look at it on bikini shots in Playboy. Don't look at it on your favorite album covers because you think that rock band is rocking for you. Be all the way with it. You're an intelligent football player, but that was an incredibly stupid thing to say. And to live in a country where you have the rebel flag, and again, that's not something I even harp about. I live in the place of Stone Mountain, the biggest Confederate memorial there is. I'd like to see that those faces chipped off that mountain one day. I'm adamantly against that flag, even though I have bigger political fights to fight. But I'm not going to be so burdened with the religion that has become Americanism, nationalism, that I forget that the flag represents the United States Constitution. And the United States Constitution was written by a bunch of people who chose to protest violently in order to have a flag. They chose to rebel against a monarchy in order to stop being subjects of that monarchy. So what you interpret as disrespect probably is the most patriotic thing happening today, in which kids are pushing back against the line in order that everyone may enjoy the constitutional rights that that flag represents, and not just the empty nationalism of white Anglo-Saxon Protestants.
Powerful words from Killer Mike, and you can hear more from Killer Mike on our podcast. After this, we will tell you exactly what teams were invited to Orlando. We'll be back in just 2 minutes.
Jalen and Jacoby is brought to you by Corona Extra. Find your beach.
It's your home speaking, and I need you to do me a couple of favors. First, could you get that blueberry that rolled under the fridge last week? It's throwing my feng shui off. Second thing, bundle your home and car insurance with GEICO. It's easy, and we could save money. Lastly, I know you were thinking of painting the nursery back to off-white, but I'm actually feeling this baby blue. Didn't think it was my color, but I am pulling it off.
GEICO. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. I want to thank Killer Mike for coming through. Don't forget, you can listen to exclusive content with Killer Mike on our podcast. Jalen, we have news. We now know which teams will be invited to Orlando. If you look at this full screen, there's a lot of information, but I will break it down like this. You get your 16 playoff teams and then 5 teams from the Western Conference, Portland, New Orleans, Sacramento, San Antonio, Phoenix, and 1 team from the Eastern Conference, the Washington Wizards. Jalen, what do you think of this proposal?
This worked out perfect for the NBA. You complete 80% of your season. Teams have pretty much jockeyed for positioning. The Western Conference is clearly stronger. You take 13 teams, with the 13th team being a similar record to the 9th-seeded team in the West. That's Phoenix in the West. That's Washington in the East, where you get young stars Devin Booker and Ayton. Hopefully John Wall is healthy to go with Bill.
Yep.
And you eliminate the rest of the East because nobody wants to watch them play basketball again this year. I like what the NBA is proposing to do. Hopefully we get back to basketball soon. This is going to be exciting if they're able to pull it off.
It is going to be very exciting. You know, I'm a little bit cynical, and everything always just comes back to the money. It seems just to always revert back to the money because, Jalen, you and I both know the safest way to do this is to have the 16 playoff teams, and that's it. That is the safest way to do this. And we've already seen a couple positive tests in the Japanese Baseball League and other places. So I'm a little concerned because what it seems like to me, it seems like they got together in a room and they're like, what's the best show? Like, what's the best group of teams that we can invite out there to put on the best show? Because it seems pretty arbitrary to put in Phoenix, who's 6 games out. Like, you're not going to make up 6 games in an 8-game regular season. So they're out there just to be exhibited. They're out there just to have fun and to make put a good show on for the fans. But to me, the safest, cleanest, best way to do this is to have a 16-team pool in Orlando.
You're looking at this all wrong. It ain't about Phoenix being 4.5-5 games out of the 8th spot. It's about the fact that they have a better record than the other conference at the 13th seed. And so now for the East, you only worry about 9 teams. In the West, you worry about 13. And let's talk about who are some of those squads. The San Antonio Spurs. DeRozan, Popovich, LaMarcus Aldridge, Murray. Like, you want to see them be a part of it. Luka, Ja, Dame, Zion and Ingram and Ball.
There's like, no shortage of big names
to be a part of it.
There is no shortage of big names. We will come back in just 2 minutes. Make sure you stay tuned. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen, we kind of know what the, which teams will be in Orlando, but one thing that's really interesting, since there is no home court advantage, what do the top seeds get? Well, look at the list of things that were in consideration, and look at the bottom. Playoffs teams, in order for 1 through 16 seeding, pick which hotel they stay at first. That is the most important one. We've stayed in a lot of hotels over the course of our lives, and we know they care more about that than extra possessions or coaches' challenges or anything else. Is that not true?
That's going to be clutch right there. And shout to Mini Man as I look at his terrific reporting. But I got to say, 98% of those things will not be happening. If you want to put back up there, you can. Nobody's going to be having seven fouls. Nobody's going to be getting the ball to start the second and third and fourth quarter. Not going to be able to do it.
Make sure you check out Killer Mike's album. Want to appreciate him coming through. Subscribe to our podcast. We have exclusive content there. Next is Dan Le Batard.
Thank you. Highly questioned. You are far too kind.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So at Geico, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now, it's our turn to share with the Geico Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring three advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
Mike, yesterday the owner of the Knicks, James Dolan, sent an internal memo that was leaked. Basically, him explaining to his staff why he was not putting out a statement to the world in support of Black Lives Matter and the movement in response to the death of George Floyd. What do you think about that internal memo about not putting out a statement?
I don't know what the memo said, but I know anybody that'll put Charles Oakley out after what he did for the Knicks.
Exactly.
Won't let Spike coming in there. I got no love for you because man, black people have definitely, man, like, come on, man. I don't care if it's Patrick Ewing in the lane. I don't care if it's Oakley you kicking out. Like, come on, man. You can't do it like that. We've been too good to you. Who would you be without Mookie in our community, man? Like, real talk.
Mookie!
Like, for real, you got to tighten up. Like, you got to do what's better than that. We giving so much to you. You know how many New York rappers, New York Knicks jersey videos we done had to sit through? How many Timberland starter jacketed, too big hat, New York Knicks fittings we done sat through? And this is how you repay us? Like, come on, man. Tighten up. Get it together, man. You can't represent the metropolis like that. You got to do better. Black people have given too much to the Knicks, even though we can't even afford the tickets anymore. If we wasn't the best street team you got in the world wearing your paraphernalia, come on, you wouldn't be nowhere. Stop doing that, man. That ain't the move, sir. Get it together.
My next question actually has me a little torn because as somebody with a black card, I have to catch myself, Killer Mike. And I remember there was a blackface issue with Gucci. Now, Louis Vuitton, artistic director Virgil Abloh, excuse me if I'm pronouncing his name wrong.
Abloh.
Is donating $50 to protesters' bail fund. He's donating $50 to protesters' bail fund in support.
As I saw it, if you read the headline, it definitely comes off a little quirky. But I saw it as a challenge. He was challenging people to match the donation, right? So if he's challenging people to match a $50 donation, most people have $50 to spare because, you know, $50 won't even buy your pair of Air Force Ones no more. We made them popular like we did the Knicks, and then they went up to $80, right? So if $50 is doable to most working people. So I saw it as him doing an amount that people could afford. If you look at Bernie Sanders' campaign, Bernie Sanders' campaign rivaled larger campaigns with $27 donations. The people really did. So I'm going to give Virgil the benefit of the doubt and hoping that that was that. Otherwise, you know, give your 50 because every dollar is needed, but you know, you can't do it like you're stunting. But I resent sometimes as a public how quickly we are to count other people's money and jump on. I remember the Migos giving $1,000 to their old high school, and people made light of it within the culture and the community. But that was at a time where no rappers that were of the street genre, a trap genre, that you didn't see them or it wasn't getting publicized. They do it. Rappers always do it. I got to give our guys that. But it wasn't publicized. You look 5 years after the Migos on the same record label, Lil Baby, I think, donates something in excess of $100,000. Well, it starts with the seed, that's the $1,000, and it ends up being, along the progress, $100,000 to another, you know, because that artist was inspired by who came before him. So I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. I'll donate my $50 to match his challenge, and I hope that a million other people do too.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a big fan of Virgil's clothes. I think he's ruined some of those Nikes with zip ties. But I will say this is I've given more than $50. You know what I mean? And I was challenged to give $50 once, so I just gave the $50 and then passed it forward. But I've made other donations, and I imagine that's exactly what Virgil did as well. So I'm gonna give him a pass on that. I'm not gonna give him the pass. Yeah. I'm putting zip ties on my Nikes though. I'm not gonna give him a pass on that. So I mean, obviously, there's so much heavier things going on in the world, but this is ESPN. This is Jalen Jacoby. So I do want to ask you about sports. Although it doesn't feel like the most important thing happening in our society now, it does look like they are sort of going to revamp the NBA in a bubble. And the head coach of your Hawks, Lloyd Pierce, who I love, he said
coach
that it
T,
would. It
that's
would,
what I call it.
I love him so much, but the team was kind of trash this year. But I love Lloyd. I love him. I believe in the coach.
Hey, man. So
He said. He said that if they weren't invited to the bubble, it would stunt the team's growth. Do you think that is the case now that we've learned that they most likely will not be invited?
I think our coach is a man of integrity and honor, and I want to see him coach the Hawks his entire career because that's a very bold statement to make in these times. In these times, teams want you to win and win now. They want you to go from grabbing one dope point guard to being being essentially Steph Curry in the championship years. You know what I mean? And it doesn't work like that. It is a process and it's a build. And I appreciate the coach for being honest and in step all along the way. And I appreciate Steve Kuhn and Tony Rexler in terms of heading the team and owning the team for giving him the autonomy to do so. A lot of times when black coaches come in, not only are their hands tied because the pressure to win is on, their hands tied because they've not given the autonomy to make some of those calls and decisions or even those public statements. So I'd like to appreciate all of them as a cluster and appreciate our coach for being the leader he is, because beyond having our guys physically ready to play on the team and understanding that it may stunt them because they're so young, if he doesn't get the other talent and maturity around them, they may implode. You know what I mean? And beyond that, he makes sure it's his guys get in the community and they're talked to by older men that have the opportunity to give them good wisdom and advice. So I like the coach all around as a human being.
A couple of things before we let you get out of here. I don't know if you realize this, but since the early 2000s, my daughters have lived in Atlanta. So I've always had a spot there, whether in Alpharetta or I've made sure Atlantic Station, I had a spot there too. And I just want to say, I've told the audience something. Atlanta has undoubtedly the best strip club experience. No doubt about it. Pink Pony on Sunday, you know, Magic on Monday. It was Onyx on Tuesday.
Listen, because I told you about my friend Robert Hicks, right? I told you about my friend Robert. Come here, Robert. This is my friend from
Yeah.
Playing for the Buffalo Bills. He's the reason. Get in here. Get in here. We got Jalen.
Yes, get on in here, Robert.
Don't be shy. What's up, Robert?
Get in here, Robert. He's been the same size since kindergarten. Get away from me. He played online. Check this out, though. He, like you, Jalen, he was an athlete, so he got a chance to go to Magic City when he was being recruited to college, and he went to Pink Pony and Strokers and all that. But we
Strokers
from the city. Let me tell my guys out there, my guys in Atlanta, man. First of all, the Atlanta Hawks, I got to take you to the strip club that's popping every day, day shift and night shift, the Blue Flame. It's black owned. It's in the black community, the good black community too, the way I grew up. The Blue Flame is where you should go. Shouts out to Michael Cato, Miss Jackie, man. Shouts out to the house mom, the DJ Swamp Izzo. Shouts out to Tracy, the promoter. Meet me at the Flame. If you're in the NBA, the NFL, if you bat balls for a living, call Killer, call Unk, and I'm going to take you to the Blue Flame.
I got to say one other thing. That Jacoby and I argue about eating at a strip club, and I try to tell him
it's different in Atlanta.
That's normal in Atlanta. That's where we go to have dinner.
Man, you want good lamb chops? You want good lamb chops and dances from afar and go to Cheetah. You want lemon pepper wings and some shrimp that'll jump you out of seat and a lap dance? Go to the Flame. Either way it go, you will have a great eating experience.
I'll be doing that immediately. And lastly,
I want to go. Let me know. I got you, man.
I did want to say one thing. Is Killer Mike in our audience might not know this, but me and Jalen actually first met in the bathroom at Strokers. That's the very first time we ever met.
Shout out to the white chocolate, man.
A legend. It's real. When that video came out, she should have put out an album. She'd have been Meg Thee Stallion back then.
Yo, I actually wrote a record for Chocolate. They were Purple Ribbon was trying to give her a deal. I don't know why it didn't work out, but she could have been Megan.
And also, I gotta make sure we say this. I'm really excited that you have an album dropping today.
It's out
today
for free. You can go download it for free. And if you choose to donate to a fund, there's a legal fund you can donate to without paying. You still get the album for free. And it helps get protesters and people falsely accused of crimes. It helps get them out of jail. So you can download it for free. You could buy it. You could donate. There are a lot of different options. But Run the Jewels 4 is out. The Yankee and the Brave have let it out, man.
That's dope.
Appreciate you so much for coming through. Appreciate everything you're doing.
I also can't wait for you and I to do some community service at the Blue Flame.
Let's get it.
And give back to the community.
At the Fly.
Flame.
Flame, man.
Thanks a lot, man. So appreciate the love.